It's Sunday, July 10th. This is episode 28 of The Shanachie, entitled Death of a Dishwasher, Part 1. The Shanachie is a production of GoodWordsRightOrder.com, and I'm Patrick McLean. There are some who say that a chef is something more than a man. Many professions are bigger than the men who fill them. Priest, judge, soldier, but a chef, perhaps more than any other, works with primal forces. The sun, the furnace, the forge, the oven, radiating heat throughout the kitchen, transforming mere groceries into a meal, and sometimes cuisine. A chef is an artist, artisan and miracle worker, all rolled into one. A magnificent shaman whose creations have the power not only to avert starvation, but also to create joy. But if you asked George about this, he's the chef laboring mightily in the background, he would say, "Man, what the f*** you doing in my kitchen? Can't you see a man trying to do a motherf***ing job up in this hot mother—" And George would say this, not because he's a bad man. "Motherf***er, you don't get out of my kitchen, I'll show you one bad motherf***er." But because he's having a bad day. Everyone who works for him has either been fired, thrown in jail, or is just plain old AWOL. So a man alone, George faces a busy Saturday night. 150 covers on the books, and who knows how many walk-ins. If George was the man he was 10 years ago...
"I'll show you 10 years! I kick your ass from this side of Shinola all the way back to Sunday!"
If George was the man he was 10 years ago, he might try and do everything by himself. But deep in his heart, George knows he'd never make it. At the very least, he's going to need someone to wash dishes and plate salads. And George is so very pissed because he realizes he's going to have to swallow his pride and call the dishwasher he just fired to see if he can get him to come back to work. And George, he can't stand the taste of pride.
"I told you to leave. I'm going to cut you up and serve you with potatoes."
"Okay, okay, George. The narrator can take a hint." This is Billy's apartment. It's seen cleaner days. For that matter, so is Billy. Billy is clinging on to the bottom rung of the ladder, and lately he's having trouble remembering why he's working so hard to hang on. Especially when he wakes up with this level of hangover. It's important to point out that it's 4:30 in the afternoon, and Billy has just returned to consciousness. Such as his consciousness is. That night train is a mean wine. But for whatever combinations of reasons, today Billy has decided to end it all. And as his vehicle of transportation to the next world, he chooses the old gas oven in his apartment. He kneels, and without a prayer, inserts his head into a narrow black space. And discovers that he is allergic to natural gas. Black, greasy soot covering his face, Billy lies on the floor and regroups. What could be more pathetic than trying to commit suicide and failing? Perhaps giving up. Billy leaves, grabbing a jar full of change on the way out. We meet Billy again amid the aisles of the local drugstore. Past school supplies, cap guns, tampons, condoms, vaporizers, and the racks of candy that stand like sugary sentinels at the cash register, Billy has found the allergy medication. Beatrice, the kindly-looking elderly lady at the register, is eyeing Billy suspiciously, and not without reason. He's not above stealing a few bottles of cough syrup for a dead broke buzz. And in the midst of trying to decipher the marketing copy of antihistamines, expectorants, and decongestants, Billy spies the sleeping pills. Deep within his addled brain, a ganglion nudges a dendron.
"Hey, man. You might want to check this out. It's, sleeping pills."
When Beatrice tells him, in her grandmotherly way, that it will be $16.73, Billy upends his jar of change on the counter. What does he care if he pays too much? He's left the world. In his mind, he's already dead. Now Billy's back home. He swallows the entire bottle of sleeping pills with gulps of water from a dirty glass. And then? Nothing. He hadn't factored a waiting period into the death equation. Ganglion and Dendron are no help here. They've lapsed back into their early evening coma. Billy shuffles into the living room, turns on the TV, turns it off again, flips through a magazine. He doesn't feel sleepy at all, just bored and perhaps a little scared. It's George on the phone, pride stuck in his craw, calling Billy, hoping this burnout will come to his rescue. Billy is the last name on his list, and right now, Billy can't think of a reason to answer the phone. Why? What difference would it make? It's all over now. Then again, why not?
Hello?